We've been speaking the Sunday mornings on being rooted and built up in the Lord Jesus Christ in this new year. And you know that, and I hope that you're striving to do so and working towards that, working towards being rooted even deeper and then building up even higher. And that's our goal. We looked at a few weeks ago, it starts out really with the presence of God. We need and are utterly dependent upon the presence of God in our lives. We then looked and shifted gears last week and went and saw that we needed to be in the will of God. The will of God, we likened it to that piece of property, that ground, it's the location. Before you build anything, you've got to find the property. As the realtors always tell us, location, location, location. And that's where it's got to be. That's the will of God. That's where you're going to be, right where He wants you to be. Now you're going to begin to really work at that, drive those roots in. And this morning I want to talk to you, if I can, titled it, Rooted in the Word of God. How vital the Word of God, you know, is, and I know that you know that, but we need a good reminder of what the Word of God truly is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, if I didn't tell you that, verse 13, would you go down there with me this morning? And verse 13, he says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the Word of God," there it is, "which He heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." What a wonderful verse to look at. But seeing that Paul says, when we came to you, church, there at Thessalonica, you took what we gave you as the Word of God, not the Word of men. See, there's the two opposing sides right there. And the biggest attack today upon the Word of God is that people liken it or claim it to be the mere words of men, don't they? Well, I don't believe it because it's just written by a bunch of men. Men are sinful. Men are wrong. Men make errors. And we say, yes, they do. But we believe, and you believe as well, I know you do, that's why you're here with our church today, in what's called the divine inspiration of Scripture. We don't believe that it was mere man. Now, God used man to pen the words. I sit down and write a letter. I don't look at the pen and go, "Pen, you write me a good letter today, okay?" No, I use the pen, but I'm the one moving the pen, if that's kind of an elementary example. But you understand what I'm saying. God used holy men of God, as Peter said, to pen and to write His words. We call that divine inspiration. We'll look at that in a minute. But notice, first of all, we must be rooted in the Word of God. The Word of God is our source. It is our lifeline, if you will. It is how God speaks to you and to me, and how He directs our lives. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by what? The Word of God. That's where we got our faith. Do you realize today you're putting your eternal destiny, whether heaven or hell, in the very words of this book? Now, people get real leery and scared about that. No way am I going to do that. But when you understand what this book is, and the more time and effort and energy you put into this book, the more it's settled in your heart. I have the very words of God. Words are very important, aren't they, today? Very important. I heard the story of the little first grade teacher, and she came into the classroom on Monday morning. She wanted to try and experiment on the kids, really wanted to encourage the kids, trying to help them out. And she said, "If anyone in here feels empty, they feel no good, they feel beaten down, they feel like they're really worthless, I want you to stand up." There's an awkward silence for about 2 minutes. Everyone kind of looked at each other. Finally, little Peter in the back, he slowly stood up. She said, "Oh, Peter, do you feel that way?" He said, "No, ma'am, but I hate to see you standing up there all by yourself." Words are important, aren't they? We have to be careful about what we say, how we say it, and all of that. We know that. And God wrote to us and gave us the very words of God. Words of God. Paul says, "I'm so thankful you received them." Notice the reception of the Word of God. "Ye heard it of us that you received it." It's in truth, he says. "It effectually worketh in you." I want to encourage you with this again. But you spend more time in Scripture, it has, if you will, a true effect upon you. It changes you. It'll change the way you think. I've said before, but this book will change your life. If you're not ready for change, don't get in the book. It'll mess with your mind. It'll change who you are. It'll change the way you talk and how you act, and it'll change everything about you. That's the Word of God. Now we see here that this word is something we should ought to take and apply. Again, I know I'm speaking to the choir, but we need it. We need it. We go out into our community, share the gospel. We come with the word of God. We see here Peter says in 1 Peter 2:2, he says what? Desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may what? Stay how you are and become lackadaisical and be apathetic. No, what's he say? That ye may grow thereby, right? The goal of being in the scriptures is that you would grow thereby, is that you would develop and ultimately drive your roots deeper. The greatest tool or instrument, I've often said the word agent, the greatest agent of change to a human being is the Bible. It's the thing that'll change you the most. You'll meet people across your life. You'll from time to time run into people that'll change maybe the way you look at things. You'll watch something on YouTube that'll change your ideas. You'll start believing there's a flat earth or round. No, I'm kidding. Things like that, you know. You'll think some of that. Things will change it, but the thing that will truly change inside of here, and not just here, but inside of here, is the Word of God. And that's exactly what it does. And so see here with me this morning. Now, take your Bibles. We're going to go over to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. If we're talking about the Bible today, we might as well turn into several places. Matthew 4. I love to hear the Bible turning and the iPads turning and the phones turning. You got to say that these days, you know. Matthew 4. Now, look with me, if you will. Matthew 4, and we'll read a few verses here. But this is, you know and understand, the great temptation of our Lord and Savior. And it says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, think about that. The Spirit led him up to be tempted. God will allow some times in your life to get and to see and to test and see where you really are. He says in verse 2, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he afterward hungered. When the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Notice he hits at the heart of it, where what he needs the most. He answered and said, what? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The devil goes on and on and on. Verse 7, he says it again. It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He goes again, and he talks about it. Verse 10, he talks about the Word of God says. He's quoting, you know, from the Old Testament, in particular, the book of Deuteronomy. And he reminds the adversary of what the Word says. Now, Jesus was, we know, and we're seeing in our Bible Institute, he was God manifested in the flesh. So he could have blown the adversary to smithereens. I mean, he could have done anything he wanted to do. But what did he do? For our example, he quoted the Scripture. You and I cannot really ultimately battle with the adversary. We don't have that power. But what we do have is the power of the Word. We have the power of the Bible. And Jesus said, I'm going to go ahead and quote to you the Bible. I'm going to quote to you the Scripture. Why? So that we today in 2022 can do just the same. He says it's written. The challenges and battles that come into our lives, the difficulties that come, I know the problems. I understand. I've talked to each one of you, sharing with me some of your personal problems, some of the things that you may be going through right now. You know, storms come, battles come. The tempter comes into our life, doesn't he? How are we going to combat that? It comes back to the Word of God. You've got to know the Bible. You've got to be rooted in the Scriptures. And you go outside today and you may plant a little seed or a little sprout or however, what mature age you get a plant at or a vegetable at. And you plant it out there, but you are very careful and cautious about where you plant it, right? You try not to keep it in a place where the sun is consistently on it, maybe like the south side. It'll scorch that little sprout. You try and keep it out of the wind, maybe keep it off that west side. It'll tear it up. You put something around it for the critters, the rabbits and other things that come and eat that sprout. You're very careful and cautious about that. And when those storms do come, and when those difficulties do develop in your life, which they will, we must combat it with the Word of God. We must be developing our root system. Now, as we think about this, Jesus said the Word has power. The Word has validity. Jesus himself said, I believe in the inspiration and preservation of the Bible. That's clear. So when those trials come, the very next chapter, Jesus is going to again begin talking about how that when storms arise in life, it depends upon what? The foundation. The man that took the word and applied it, and he's the man that built his house upon the rock. The man that took the word of God and did not apply it, he cast it aside, he disregarded it, was a man who built his house on the sand. And when the storms arose in both of their lives, it proved the foundation. Are we rooted in Him? Rooted in the Word of God. That's where we need to be today. Oh, the Word of God. Take your Bibles. Let's continue. Go to Mark chapter 7. Would you go there with me? Mark chapter 7. Not only does the Word help us in life in general with the battles that come and the satanic attacks that happen, let me say in Mark chapter 7, it also helps us with our own deception. You and I can deceive ourselves sometimes. He says in Mark 7, verse 6, if you will. He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah the prophet prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, these people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. Full well, he says, ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Jump down to verse 13. Making the word of God, there it is, of none effect. Through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such things ye do. Now, here's the caution to us. We can actually take and assume certain things. If we step aside from the Word of God, then we start living our own way, don't we? He says, you've taken the Word of God and put it aside of none effect and made your own traditions that of equal or superseding even over the Word of God. We have a lot of people like that. Now, this again is where cults and other things start. Because a man will close the Bible and say, I know what the Bible says, but here's what I think we should do. See, he says that. You reject the word, he says, making the word of none effect. Well, that's exactly what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2, didn't he? What we just read. Effectually worketh in you. The word of God should have effect on your life. It should change you. It should stir your heart. If it doesn't, something's off. Your traditions, your standards, your rules supersede the Word of God. But notice what he says. It starts with drawing nigh to God with our lips and not our heart. And I said last week, but there'll be many that come to Jesus in that day and say, Lord, Lord, it's me, Joe Blow, it's me, Susie, it's me, it's us from this church. He'll say, I never knew you. But Lord, we did many, mighty works in your name. We did a lot of things for you. He says, yeah, but I never knew you. You never accepted me as your personal Savior. I never knew you. And what was the essence of that? They drew nigh to God with what? Their lips, but their heart was far from Him. Heart was far from Him. Oh God, help us. Oh God, be with us. A catchphrase today, a filler word, filler phrase, I should say, used so prevalent today is, oh my God. Oh my God. All the kids, you know, they text the OMG. Oh my God. That's blasphemous. That's speaking God's name in vain. If you're truly calling out to God, then hallelujah. Oh my God, please. But if we use it as a filler word, that's not something we should do. You know that. But thinking about it, that's what they do. They're drawing nigh to God with their lips. A lot of these people. I sure appreciate athletes and superstars that stand up for the name of Christ and give praise to Him when they've done something very well. But I think a lot of them are frauds. I really do. All praise to the Lord for, or they say, I want to thank the man above. Why don't you say the name Jesus Christ? I mean, what's so hard about that? I think they put on a show, a lot of them do. There's a lot of good ones, though, I have to say that. But you think about it, there's a lot that draw nigh to God with their lips and heart is far from them. Now, how do we correct that? By the Word of God. Then we come back to the Bible and say the Word, struggling marriages. The problem, this is closed at home. Kids going wayward. The problem, the kids, one, are rebellious, but the Bible's closed in their life. Problem after problem after problem. You say, oh, so you're making it such a simple little remedy, Brother Tim. I don't think it's that simple. I believe it's that simple. And some of you are shaking your heads right now because you know that. And we know that. Come back to the Bible. Come back to the Word of God. Stop speaking. Getting close to God. Oh, God, I love you. Oh, Lord, we're here for you. We go out, do the opposite. How much time do you spend in the Bible? How much time do you spend in Scripture? What are you doing with the Bible? Oh, I'm speaking to myself this morning. Where's the Bible at on your priority list? Where's the Bible at in your heart? Where's the Bible at? Are you sharing it with the kids and the grandkids? Are you speaking it? Are you memorizing it? Are you listening to it in your car instead of that junk? Are you following it? Yes, and I know we got to know what's going on in the world. I know that we like to listen to some music and other things that are very helpful, encouraging. Nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, are you prioritizing the Bible? My friends, it'll change your life. It'll give you, and I hate to use the term, but it'll give you a spiritual high. It really will. It'll give you something inside. The getting away from the monotony and that empty feeling you get when you get home and sit down. You need to get alone with God and spend time in Scripture. Now, I know I'm beating a dead horse here, but think about the Bible. Are we cautioned about drawing nigh to Him and not with our true hearts? It says, in vain they worship me. They teach for doctrine the commandments of men. Oh, my friends, we know that. Now let's keep going here. Take your Bibles. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 4. Now Hebrews chapter 4 is going to give us here a real clear definition of what the Bible actually does. What the Word of God actually does for us. You could call them its characteristics. You could call it its tools, its effectiveness, whatever you want to call it. But we're going to see, notice Hebrews chapter 4, again in verse 12. Now the writer of Hebrews is encouraging, as you know, Jewish believers, and he makes clear what the Word of God is. The Word of God is, one, quick. That word means living. Two, it's powerful. Three, it's sharp. We could say four, it divides. Notice. Five, it discerns. There's five, if you want to say, characteristics about the Bible. That's what it does. You and I would greatly benefit us to memorize this verse. But that's what he says the Word does. It is a living book. It's a book that is living. Again, encouraging you to study this topic of the preservation of Scripture. Because there's no way that human filthy hands could preserve the Bible through century after century after century. And we today have multiple copies, not only here, but in our homes, right? There's no way. It's a divine preservation, as spoken of in the Old Testament. But it's a living book. It's a book that imparts life to a dead human being, spiritually dead. The only life we can receive, spiritual life, is through knowledge of the Word of God. That's what's spoken. I cannot know the way of salvation really outside of the Word of God. Somebody told you the way of salvation, I'm sure, but they got that directly from the Bible. God's great revelation to us as human beings comes through this very book. You know that. So it imparts life to the person. It's powerful. It has the power to change lives. It has the power to change. Do you realize today it had the power to start this great nation in which we live in? This nation was founded upon the very Word of God, wasn't it? Sadly, we're drifting away from that very rapidly. The United States of America and the nation of Israel parallel each other extremely close. You study the Old Testament of the life of the nation of Israel, it is almost synonymous with the United States of America. It started out founded on the Word of God. It started out with great persecution. A revolution took place. It went through, there was civil war. It kept going. There was a time when we drew back to God. 19th century in particular, great revival, the greatest missionary movement to ever take place in America took place. There were times of some good kings. There were times of some bad kings. And ultimately, they turned their back on God and said, God, we want nothing to do with you. In the book of Isaiah, it says, tell the Holy One to leave us alone, to get out of our way. And God said, fine, you want me to take my hands off? I'll take my hands off. And here came what? Captivity. And ultimately, the annihilation of a nation. You see a lot of that going on. And we think about today. Now, it has a power to change not only a life, but to change a nation. Has the power to change a church. Has the power to change a person, a church, a city. On and on we could go. I'm telling you, my friends, you want power? You want power to change people? You want power over people? Not to be pompous or proud, but power, quote, Scripture to them. And they get scared. I didn't know that was in the Bible. You just say it. Just quote Scripture to people and tell them, you know, the Bible says, da 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 da. Watch how they squirm. They get real uncomfortable. Notice it says it's sharp. Oh, it's sharp. It'll Notice what it does. It pierces. It pierces. A two-edged sword's primary purpose is to pierce, right? It's not to cut. A single-edged sword is for slashing. A double-edged sword is for piercing. That's what the Bible does. The Bible doesn't slice you up and leave you, you know, half dead. I guess it could. But what it appears, it gets right to the point. Jesus never minced words. Paul never minced words. Well, let me beat around the bush a little bit, sugarcoat it, and candy coat it for you. No, he says you're a sinner. You're in need of Christ. Jesus cuts right to the chase. That's what the Word of God does. It gets right to the point. Why? We don't have time. God knows that. Satan knows that. Paul knew that. You should know that. You do not have time. We don't have time to waste. I don't have time, 15 years to waste to find out where God is and find out where the Bible, find out where the truth is. You read the Bible once through, you know, brother and sister, where you are. You know the truth. That's what he says. It pierces, gets right to the point. Notice what it says again. It's a divider. You know this, but you've probably lost friends and family and acquaintances because of your stand on the Word of God. It divides people. It'll divide a home straight down the middle. Mama comes home, gets saved, comes home. Daddy finds out that she's a Bible believer. What happens? Division. If he's an unsaved man. You have examples throughout history. Kids get saved. Teenagers get saved. Come home to ungodly parents. Division. Doesn't it? You may date somebody for a while, or you did, and you got saved somehow. Division. It broke that relationship. It will divide people. Speak the name of Christ, it'll divide. Share the Word of God, it'll divide. And by the way, it will divide your sin from your life if you stick in the Bible, get in the Bible, read the Bible, memorize the Bible. Well, it'll divide quick. And you go, well, I wonder if this is right. Now here comes to the last point, is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents or intentions of the heart. Well, I think it's okay if we, what did the Bible say though? See what it does? It discerns. Do you want true discernment in your life? Do you know what Solomon prayed? Do you remember? He said, what do you want? God said, what do you want? Solomon said, well, Lord, I don't know how to come out, don't know how to go in, and I need what? Discernment and judgment. That's what he said. Discernment in judgment to judge this thy great people. And God said, well, since you didn't ask for riches, fame, women, all the other things, I'm going to give you what you didn't ask for. And I'm going to give you wisdom. Wisdom and discernment go hand in hand. Understanding this. Discernment of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You and I have thoughts all the time. I always have thoughts. I think, well, I was watching, I enjoy watching motorcycle racing. And I was watching it last night. And the thought came to my mind, I could do that again. Yeah, I could do that. And I mentioned something to my wife and she went, don't even say it. No, you can't. Look at you. You know, no, you can't. But I said, I think I can still do that. Yeah, I could probably do that. No, you can't. You think about some of that. I think I could eat that burrito. Mm-mm, don't do it. Is it Chipotle burrito, man? And they've gotten smaller, by the way. Remember, like 5 years ago, they were real big. They got anyways. You know, you think sometimes, I discern. Listen, I can do that. I can do this. What does the Bible do? It discerns the thoughts. The thoughts come through the filter of the Bible, and the Bible spits it out the other end and goes, here's what it says. Okay. And it would greatly behoove us to take that end result, having been filtered through the Bible, and go, Lord, I'll do that. Sadly for me, sometimes I still do it my way, only to my own demise. But it discerns the thoughts, it discerns the intents or the intentions of the heart. Are you intending to do something today? Are you intending to do something tomorrow? Are you intending to do something in the near future? Would you filter it through the Word of God and sit down and say, God, I want to do it your way, how you want to do it, and I want to be ultimately, again, in your will. That comes back to following the Bible. My friends, are you following the Scripture? That's what he says. These characteristics of the Bible, oh, they will help us greatly. It will give you foresight and foreknowledge of things to come. It will give you what you need to be successful, not only in your finances, successful in your marriage, in your child rearing, in your life, in your workplace. I'm saying today, you will be above the average. I don't need to go through all of Psalm 119, but it talks about the wonderful Word of God. In Psalm 119, the longest chapter in all the Bible, You can turn there if you want, but you don't have to. Let me just read to you a couple verses here and I'll wrap it up. Psalm 119, notice verse number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to the social media of today. What's it say? According to thy word. According to thy word. Wherewithal, that's a wonderful word. We don't use it anymore. Where is location and withal is substance. So where and with what do I cleanse my way? He says by the word of God. You take the word of God. You want some cleansing inside. You need help with an addiction. You need help with people. I talk to people seemingly each week that have some kind of problem, have an addiction of some kind. And I try and encourage them with this. Come to the Bible. Let it cleanse you. As we said before, filter out. Filter out. My friends, you're hurting yourself by living in that. Come to the Bible. Verse 11, thy word have I what? Hid in mine heart. That's memorization. That I might not sin against thee. You want to keep from sinning against God? You memorize the scripture. You study the scripture. We could go on and on. I have so many. Go over, if you're there, to verse 89. He says, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. There it again, the preservation of scripture. It's settled. I talked about on Wednesday about that the word of God, he says in 2 Timothy in chapter 2, I may be bound, Paul says, handcuffed, but the word of God is not bound. Should I share with the people my cemetery idea? No, you're shaking your heads. Okay. No, don't. Okay. Well, I've got a good plan. I got a 20-year plan for our church, you know, laying everything out. And I thought we'd have a cemetery out back and we could all get buried out there. Would that be cool? Anybody want to buy a plat now or no? Okay, good. See? See, some folks need a play. Okay. I'm just kidding. Okay. You think about, though, he says the word is settled. Verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Do you need direction? Do you need it? Do you need to know where to go and how to go? What? It's the word of God. You need light for the path. You ever feel like you're walking in the dark? Oh, this old wicked world. We need light. Show me the way. By the way, people are looking for somebody to follow. They're looking for, no matter your age, they're looking for somebody to follow. Grandma knows the way. Grandpa knows the way. Dad knows the way. My son knows the way. My daughter knows the way. My granddaughter knows the way. Look at her. She's going the way. What? The Word of God. You'll find at the heart of every person that knows the way and goes the way and shows the way, they have a consistent and healthy habit of being in the Bible. Not hit and miss, not 45 minutes on Sunday morning. It's every single day of the week. They're seeking God. And God, we come to Him and say, God, speak to my heart. Show me and guide me as only You can. And let's go finally to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Timothy 3:16, and I'll close out here. Thank you for being so faithful and listening. 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3. Actually, let's start in verse 15. Verse 15, he says, but if I tarry long, no. 2 Timothy, I'm sorry. 2 Timothy, I was off. 2 Timothy 3:16. By the way, 1 Timothy 3:16, you should memorize too. 2 Timothy 3:16, we're going to get to this on Wednesday night as well, so I don't want to read more than I have to. Sorry, Adam, are you following me on this? He's putting the verses up on the screen on live stream, so... 2 Timothy 3:16. He says, notice verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, that which are able to make thee wise, notice, unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And then he says, verse 16, all scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. Underline that. And profitable for several things. For doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, that's complete, truly furnished unto all good works. You have everything that you need, he says, Timothy, to do what you're supposed to do. Where? In the Bible. Everything you need, by the way, that brings a heavy indictment upon us. When we stand before Christ one day, we have no excuse. Lord, I didn't know I was supposed to. He'll point to the verse. I didn't know I was, he'll point to the chapter and verse. You have everything you need to be successful and to please, completely please, the Almighty God in which we serve, contained in the Bible. But the Scripture, lastly here, let me say, it's inspired by God. It's God-breathed. That's what the word inspiration means. We use the word expire. That means breathe out, to die. I believe going past the expiration date. Anybody else? Come on. They're putting those dates on those cans and jars. They're not real. You go through, but inspiration, you know, it means God breathed. He breathed into, again, as we said, the men penning these words. He breathed into the Bible, but it's profitable. It's for doctrine. That's what we believe. You need to know the doctrine. You need to understand. Again, we disagree on some minor things. I know that. There's some things we disagree on, maybe. I hope not. But the doctrine, the core belief, is what we hold to. That's where we find it, right here in the Bible. We deviate from the Bible. We start teaching heretical things, as we saw, as he says in the book of Titus, as we looked at. A heretic is to be rejected for reproof. That's what's wrong. There's things that come into the church. There's wolves that will enter in. Remember Jesus said in sheep's clothing? We detect them by what? Here it is. Are they looking and following the book? Are they adhering to the book? And when they preach something or say something, the red flag ought to go off. The hair on the back of your neck ought to stand up and go, that's not right. That's not right. Well, how can we do that? We got to know the word. I've said this before, but if I ever say something that is contrary to Scripture, you have the right to come up to me afterwards, please, okay, and say, Brother Tim, you said this, and that's not scriptural. Because I believe wholeheartedly the Bible's right every time and Tim is wrong. The Bible's right. Again, understanding that. But think about it. That's what he says, for reproof. That's how you correct somebody. You don't come and say, well, I don't like you, and I don't like what you said. No, you say, here's what the Bible says, Brother Tim. I just wanted to make you aware of that. For correction. Now, that's how to get it right. That's how to get it right. We correct people by the Bible, not our own opinions. We become hypocrites and Pharisees if we do. And then he says, for instruction in righteousness. Well, that's how to stay right. You want to know how to stay right? You spend time in the Scriptures. And then he says, lastly, the man of God. The man of God, the minister of God, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Pounded into me time and time again. As I went through Bible training, I went through a full course. I went through 4 years of it. The Bible is our final authority. The Bible is all that is final authority. It's our final authority in all matters of faith and all matters of practice. Faith is what we believe. Practice is what we do and why we do it. Comes back to the Bible. Now, I know you know this. I'm preaching to the folks here today. You know your Bibles. But there may be some listening today online that may not. I don't know. But you need to get in your Bible. I don't know how you can do it, what you can do. I don't know what you need to implement into your life. I don't know how it is. For me, I've really enjoyed this app on my phone I have. It's a free, by the way, it's a free app. You can find it. And you click on the verse or the chapter and you down at the bottom it says play from beginning. You push play and it'll read it out loud to you. That has helped me tremendously. Other avenues and ways. I don't know how you can do it, but I want to encourage, get the Bible prioritized in your life. Read the Bible, study the Bible, etc. You know that why, ultimately coming back to rooted in Him, rooted in God. The only way we found the piece of property, we found it, it's the will of God. You're here today, you're in the will of God. I pray you're saved. If you're saved, that's the first step in the will of God. So we found the property. Okay, now what? Okay, now let's start on the foundation. We need to grade the lot. We need to clear it. We need to level it. We need to call the concrete guy, and he's going to come in and dig the footings. And then we're going to work on that. Put the forms in, lay it down, all the things we need to do. That starts with the Word of God. That's what Jesus said. A man that takes my Bible, my Word, and applies it to his life. He's like a man who took and built his house upon a rock, upon a stone. That's concrete. Takes a man who says, I know the Bible, I've heard the Bible, I come to church every Sunday, Brother Tim, but I don't apply it to my life. I disregard it. I put it aside. He's like a man who built his house on the sand, and although it looks good right now in January, February, almost March, although it looks good when the sun is shining, coming a day when the clouds will rise out there in the west or the east, and then they start to worry, don't they? And everything's good while you're in your 30s and maybe your 40s or 50s. Everything's looking good. There's coming a day, and some of you dear older folks, you know that. There's coming a day of trial and temptation and problems. And what are you founded upon? What are you founded upon? And I want my house to last more than just a summer. I want my house to last just past raising my kids. I want my house, my spiritual house, to last into all of eternity. And when I'm buried out back here on the 20 acres, I had to tie that in somewhere. By the way, if you want to give towards purchasing that 20 acres, you just let me know. And when I'm buried out there, I want my great, 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 great grandkids to come out. There's old Pappy. He's buried out there. But he built his house upon a rock. He didn't. He stood for the Word of God, encouraging my friends today. Drive your roots deep. Drive your roots deep. And then build now upon the Word of God. Let me tell you, the Bible will not let you down. It will not let you down one time. You'll be so glad that you gripped this Bible and held on to this Bible when you come to the last days of your life. Thank God I stood. Thank God I stayed with the Bible. Thank God I had tried my dead level best. They may not follow. My kids may not grow up and follow. But I did my dead level best to teach them and train them in the Bible and let them know this is the book. It's the truth. It's the truth. Nothing else. It's the truth. My friends, I hope you take time this week to get alone with God and study and read the Bible. In Jesus' name, Lord, we do thank you for your wonderful grace. We plead for you in the name of Christ that you would guide us and help us. We believe in the authority and power of the name of Jesus Christ. We do pray for, Lord, your help as we proceed forward, these dear, precious, faithful people, Lord. They love you. They serve you. I know, Lord, all of them spend time in your Bible and in the Scriptures. I pray every day. Many are so busy, Lord, we just struggle sometimes to find time. But strengthen us, God, with the power of the Holy Spirit to prioritize this precious book. It has stood the test of time. It has raised nations. It has affected countries. It has affected families. And Lord, we know that it will take us all the way to the end. And you will judge us out of this book one day, you said. We thank you for it. We thank you that it's given in our language today. I know people right now that are meeting in third world countries that are having to use a translator because they don't have the Bible in their own language. I know people right now are meeting under a little palm tree or some kind of place outside because they have not a building. And they're seeking to know the Bible. They walk 5, 6, 7 miles to church or to a place where they gather together just to hear the Word. And oh, Father, how good we have it. And I know that, Lord. And I pray you'd help our apathy. Help us, God, and strengthen us, Lord. Lead us. We've gotten away from you and your Bible, from memorization, from study, simply just reading it. Strengthen us to do more. Why? For the rooting, the building up. Father, ultimately, we can lead other people. Your Word gives the lamp and the light. We love and thank you, God, once again. In your precious holy name, in Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me just for a few verses of invitation, as we usually do? I want to encourage you to just spend just about a minute there, 2 minutes, and ask God to help you with His Word. God, we do thank you again for this time to gather together. What a joy to be in your house. I pray that you'd help us all as we go our separate ways at this time. Lord, bring us back safely this evening, if you would allow it. And Father, then into the next week, we just praise you. Pray you'd watch over each one of us, Lord. We love you, though, and thank you for another day of life. And we pray that you'd help us to reach out to the people around us, Lord, and to share the wonderful truth. In Jesus' precious name, amen.